Clicked. It's been clicked. Do you know what I talked about today in therapy?
What did you talk about in therapy today?
The fact that I have a podcast.
Oh, yeah? And what was your therapist's thoughts on podcasting?
She likes podcasts.
All right. I can't get my therapist interested.
My therapist is like 5 years older than I am, so podcasting generation.
My therapist is 5 years younger than I am. Difference in generations, which is true. He's an old millennial, and I am a young Gen Xer. So therapy and podcasting.
Yeah. I told her that I collect D&D games like you collect podcasts.
Willow, are you ready to enter a very dangerous zone?
I feel like this is a reference to the movie we're
about
to watch.
Are you ready to have your breath taken away? Are you ready to have the melody stuck in your head for the rest of your life, starting in 1986?
I already have the Jeopardy music stuck in my head right now.
Well, get ready to have stuck in your head, because I have the need for speed, and that need can only be quenched by Top Gun from 1986. The year
that's
that
the movie
Shop of Horrors came out.
Why isn't that movie on this list?
Yeah, it's shorter.
It's also seems very much like a movie he would have liked.
While my friends were obsessing over Top Gun, I was obsessing over Audrey 2. That was where we split off.
You got to be in that show.
I have been in that show. It's a fun show to do. I've watched that show many times in very many different permutations. But this is our first, and I think only, Tony Scott film. And it's also the movie that made Tony Scott famous. What can you tell me about Tony Scott?
I can tell you nothing.
The late Tony Scott.
The only Tony... One sec. I need to make sure this joke is historically accurate.
The only Tony.
The only Tony I know is Tony Hawk, and I wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup. So
okay, there you go. How was that not historically accurate? Were you checking to see if Tony Hawk was a fictional character?
No, I was checking to see if his first name was Tony.
I got to make sure this is historically accurate. Is there such a person as Tony Hawk?
I couldn't remember if that because I names and I don't get along.
Well, Tony Scott is part of that group of British filmmakers who came up in the 60s and 70s in like the commercial world. And we've covered several of them. Most recently, Alan Parker, who did The Wall. This sort of group of guys who there was no like fancy film industry at the time. It was all just kind of rough and tumble and hard scrabble people like working their way up. And the way you did it in England is you got a job in the commercial industry. And what's interesting, though, is that Tony Scott's brother had a film production company. So Tony Scott was kind of able to like get a foot in the door there just because his brother...
I only hear Tony Hawk now.
Is not Tony Hawk.
Whatever you say.
Tony Scott's brother is someone we have covered on this show.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. He's directed one of your favorite movies ever.
The
of
Raven.
All time. What?
The Raven.
No. Tony Scott's brother is Ridley Scott, director of Alien.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Tony Scott's brother is Ridley Scott, director of Alien. So Tony Scott had a bit of I wouldn't say a bit of an in, because his brother wasn't like super famous when Tony Scott got his start making commercials and stuff. But he made a movie, and that's the other thing, is Tony Scott's work is almost entirely Hollywood-based, even though he's a British filmmaker. He made a sexy vampire movie called The Hunger with David Bowie. And he was already like 40 or so when he made it. And it bombed. So he went back to England. He made a commercial for Saab, right? A TV commercial for the car Saab, which showed a car racing a jet. And Hollywood was like, that's our man. And that's like literally what got him back into the game, is Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer, who were producing partners at the time, were trying to get this jet movie made. This little airplane movie, based on an article from California Magazine, a 1983 article written by Ehud Yonah, called Top Guns, which was about an F-14 pilot and another guy who go through Navy fighter weapons school training. And people were like, this is exciting. And so Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson, who were still up-and-coming producers, they had done Flashdance, they had done Beverly Hills Cop, they had had a bit of a bomb with Thief of Hearts. They were looking for this to be their next big hit. So they brought in this guy who at least, I guess, knew how to film a jet flying, knew how to have a car racing, and they made Top Gun. And that's what we're about to watch today.
You can't get those types of things in commercials anymore. It's all CGI.
It's all CGI. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I wouldn't say anyone can do it. But yeah, like, no. You don't need to like have like coordination with every single like special forces unit to get a jet filmed.
It's all CGI and or boring.
Boring? You said boring?
Yep.
Yep. Everything is boring if it's not CGI. You heard it here first.
Loves commercials. I said and or boring.
Who loves commercials?
Mitzi.
Mitzi loves a commercial. She will ask just to watch commercials on YouTube, which I am happy to do because there's some crazy commercials out there. So this movie stars a little man named Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Who you may know from such films as many of them. Did you know that
I've actually seen some of his movies for once.
You actually have. Did you know that his last name is his actual last name is Mapother?
Why would I know that?
That he is Thomas Cruise Mapother the Fourth.
Isn't he also like
Crazy Scientologist?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, an absolutely insane. His cousin is William Mapother, who has been in like many Tom Cruise movies. He's one of those character actors who just pops up in things and you don't know you know this guy, but you've seen him in everything. It also stars Kelly McGillis, Val Kilmer, mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards, and Aliens' Tom Skerritt. So we have a returning player here. Tom Skerritt, who played Captain Dallas in Alien, is back for the fun. So
why did I forget Ridley Scott's name?
Because you don't remember names.
There we go, yeah.
Tony Scott made this movie. It was one of the biggest hits of all time at the time. And he went on to make Beverly Hills Cop 2, Days of Thunder, Last Boy Scout, True Romance, Crimson Tide, a whole slew of Denzel Washington movies in the early 2000s. And then in 2012, took his own life unexpectedly. Just shocked everyone that Tony Scott took his own life. And Ridley Scott was just... no one had any idea. So it was a terribly tragic death and sort of sent shockwaves throughout the film industry. He had been working on a sequel to Top Gun at the time, which just came out this year to rave reviews. And
it's really good.
$1 billion earner. So you've never seen Top Gun.
I have never seen Top Gun. I'm not an action movie. That's not true. I am an action movie person, but...
It's a weird movie. It was such a huge hit, and it felt like it culturally kind of disappeared for a long time.
I've definitely heard of it.
Yeah, it's a famous movie.
It's one of those movies guys talk about a lot on the internet.
Guys talk about it a lot. It's considered a stealth gay movie in a lot of circles, whether intentionally or not on the part of the filmmaker. Tony Scott was always fairly coy about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it disappeared maybe because people started like getting a little anti-military after time, and this movie definitely glorifies the military. It was responsible mm-hmm. for like an uptick in recruitment after it came out. I don't know if it was responsible for an uptick in people sticking with it, because there's very few sexy flyboys out there. It's mostly people who burn out of like jet fighter training. I assume that's a very hard thing to do. You're less likely to end up Rambo 3 and more likely to end up Rambo 1.
Look, I get so many emails from people asking me to be in the military at this point. I don't think anything could convince me to. If you email me, chances are you've just significantly decreased your chances of me interacting with you ever.
I think at this point you should just join the military. Just to show up on day one and be like, you want me? And just see what they do. You might get a cushy job. Especially if you do it after you get your college degree, enlist, and they'll be like, all right, basic training starts Well, why don't we just start you in the office?
I wouldn't be allowed in the military anymore for reasons I will tell you after we finish this recording.
Treason. So,
yep.
Are you ready to have your... I already made all the jokes. I already made all the take your breath away jokes and highway...
Are you ready to die in the military? Let's go.
Are you ready to... Yes. Are you ready to have some sexy fun with the boys in the military?
No.
Here we go then. I am Phil.
And I'm Willow.
And
it's Del Toro time.
Did you know that they created a Transformer based on Maverick from this movie?
Is it named Maverick?
It's Maverick. It's an F-14. It's Maverick. I'm going to show it to you real quick. I'm sorry that people listening to this won't be able to hear. But I just want you to see.
I think they'll be able to hear. The problem is they won't be able to see.
This is what it looked like. It's questionably Tom Cruise once it transforms. It does hold a volleyball in its hand, though.
That's a really boring color scheme.
Well, it's just an F-14. It's just an F-14, so it's just painted like an F-14. It's beige. It's essentially Leader One from the GoBots with a helmet that says Maverick holding a volleyball.
Fair enough.
And as much as people make of the volleyball scene from this movie, most of this movie was not that volleyball scene.
No, it was not. In fact, I forgot about the volleyball scene until you brought it up.
That's a super important scene to a lot of people. And then you watch the movie and it's like, oh, it just sort of happens and then it goes by and then they go and do other things.
It literally did nothing except for show that he wanted to date that girl.
He wanted to date that girl. What girl? That girl. Which girl? The other girl.
The only girl.
No, there's two girls in this movie.
There's two girls, two women in this movie.
There's Kelly McGillis and there is Meg Ryan. Although Meg Ryan only has five lines or so. And they're mostly lines about how amazing her husband is and what good friends her husband and Tom Cruise are. But what is this movie we're talking about again?
Top Gun.
Tom Grun. And what did you think of it?
I liked it.
You had a good time during it.
For the most part.
You were bouncing all over the place. You were like, please, please, father, can you turn this movie off? I cannot watch it anymore. For a movie you loved, you sure didn't want to watch most of it.
I was so stressed. Things kept happening.
So you are not a fan of stories that involve someone who is, say, a Maverick type?
No.
Who goes against the grain and breaks all the rules. Because you keep being afraid that that person's going to get hollered at.
And also that horrible things are going to happen.
They're like, you keep Mavericking around like that, someone's going to get hurt. And you're like, who's going to get hurt?
Most of the movies we watch, horrible things happen in them.
Yeah, that's the basis of most drama, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's not surprising that during the movies we watch, I'm expecting something horrible to happen the entire time.
Except what's interesting about this movie is this movie goes out of its way to set up that Maverick is a Maverick who breaks all the rules, and that one day breaking those rules is going to get someone in serious hot water. And then when something horrible and tragic does happen, the movie then bends over backwards to go, this isn't your fault, Maverick. Don't worry about it. It's not, you didn't do anything wrong. Don't worry. Because he's our hero, and we certainly can't have him be responsible for the death of the most likable character in the movie.
Yep.
The most likable character being a total nerdlinger played by Hollywood's favorite nerdlinger, Anthony Edwards.
His name's Goose.
Spoiler alert, Goose dies.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched the movie, Goose dies, which you might be aware of from, you know, pop culture constantly talking about the death of Goose in Top Gun.
His name's Goose.
His name is Goose. He's a goose boy. Honk, honk. We all love the goose. His name is not actually Goose. It's Nick Bradshaw.
They say their real names a total of two times in this movie.
Maverick's
really
name is Pete Mitchell. And the movie starts off with Maverick and Goose, Cougar and Merlin, out on patrol in their F-14s. And what happens? What happens in the opening scene? So what is an F-14, by the way?
It's a fighter jet. Yeah, that's what they're called.
Yeah. F-14 Tomcat. It is a tactical reconnaissance platform. platforms intercept something. I don't know anything about jets. I kept calling them planes during the whole movie.
We both kept calling them planes during the whole movie.
Yeah. What is it that makes the F-14 Tomcat so special?
I don't freaking know.
I don't know either. I know that they're super awesome. I know that, like, in the 80s especially, the F-14 Tomcat was like the fighter jet in pop culture. I think like Leader One from the GoBots was an F-14. I think the Seekers in Transformers were F-14s. Like, they were just kind of the quintessential fighter jet, and they're still being used today. The F-14A Tomcat. The Iranian Air Force is using them, I guess. I don't know anything about jets.
Neither of us know anything about jets.
Yes.
We don't care.
I said that the name of this movie should have been We Love Planes.
Yeah.
Would have been a good name for this movie. Because they sure do love flying in their planes in this movie. So what happens in the opening scene? We have Maverick, we have Goose, we have Cougar, we have Merlin.
Who should have been called Milf.
Should have been called Milf.
As you said.
Should have, because there's Cougar and Merlin. I thought of it a cool idea if their names were Cougar and Milf. I didn't think that you remembered that joke. I thought you shut that joke out, and then I thought you shut down for a while after I said it.
Nope.
So I was like, oh no, I think I overstepped.
I thought you said milk at first, which is why I didn't respond, because it didn't make any sense to me.
You know, cougar milk.
Anyways, what happens at the beginning of this movie is they get attacked?
Bothered?
They get irritated by other people.
Yeah, there's these two MiG-28s, which are Russian jets, I think, show up. They don't attack, really. They show up, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. Originally, they were supposed to be North Korean jets. I guess they decided to just make them MiGs, and then never really say where they're from. They're out in the Indian Ocean. They get surprised by them.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
And then they're like, let's have fun, I guess. Let's do a jet dance.
Right. They dance around their jets. What does Tom Cruise do?
He does a super, super special secret turn.
Yep.
He's upside down, I guess.
He goes upside down. He goes inverted, mm-hmm. which I guess is hard. That seems like that would be a hard thing to do in a jet.
Yeah.
You're going pretty fast. One thing this movie really made it clear is that I would hate to be in a jet, like a fighter jet.
It would suck.
Yeah, that looks horrifying. You're going so fast, and you're up so high, and if anything goes wrong, you're dead. You die. You just die.
Yep.
Yeah. So he flies upside down. He flips the bird at the MiGs, at one of the MiGs, which I guess works.
Yeah, they get a picture.
Yeah. And but what happens to poor Cougar?
He freaks out because he's like, that could have ended really badly, and I don't want to leave my wife and kid, who I haven't met yet.
It's like he suddenly realized that he was flying in a jet.
Yeah. And never, if you're in a jet, you don't want to think about how you're flying in a jet.
Right. It's like when you're suddenly aware that you have a tongue in your mouth, and that's like the worst thing in the world. You're like, oh no, I have a tongue in my mouth. Like, it's like that, only you can die.
Yep.
Yeah, because he has an attack. It says in the wiki that he has a PTSD attack, which I don't know. They never say that in the movie.
Yeah.
But they don't say a lot in the movie, actually. You were kind of meant to sort of be carried along by being blown away by how awesome these Top Guns are. But Maverick goes and he saves Cougar. How does he save Cougar?
He uses his jet to guide Cougar's jet to the ground.
To the
landing zone.
The landing zone. To the, what is it called? Aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Down to the aircraft carrier in the Indian Ocean. We didn't mention that the movie starts off, though, with like just 5 minutes of just jets being awesome and landing. And the song
This is a movie about jets being awesome.
Yeah. Which is also the plot of West Side Story. So we hear the song Danger Zone a lot. Kenny Loggins performing the song Danger Zone, which becomes one of the themes of the movie, this song Danger Zone. There's two main themes. There's the Top Gun like fanfare, which was written by Harold Faltermeyer, Hans Hugo Harold Faltermeyer, known as Harold Faltermeyer, who also wrote the music for Fletch and Beverly Hills Cop, as well as a lot of other things. But he wrote the theme to Top Gun.
Yeah.
So you'll hear his theme. Oh, he also did Running Man. He did Tango and Cash. He basically did like the 80s. And then he disappeared for a while. But Danger Zone. Brown out, brown, 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 out, brown, 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 brown. That plays a lot. And boo, 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 boo. Plays a lot.
Yes. Thank you for the artistic rendition of those songs.
Yes, it was my pleasure. So does Maverick get in trouble for doing his hijinks and his shenanigans?
He gets yelled at.
He gets yelled at a lot. He doesn't get in trouble. His superiors just bark at him and tell him how disappointed in him they are. And then they give him like handshakes and promotions.
Yep.
This is definitely a movie about how awesome it is to be the bad boy and how even if you get in trouble, things are pretty much going to turn out in your favor. Even if you don't win the big prize, you still win the girl and you are a hero to all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He also buzzes the control tower, which makes a man spill his coffee. Remember
which is very
that.
Funny.
Remember that, though, because that comes back up.
Yep.
It's like this entire movie is a build up to the payoff of the guy spilling his coffee.
It kind of is.
Yeah, that's kind of the arc of this movie is, can I get that guy to spill his coffee again? Only this time I'm the hero. And he does. Spoiler alert.
I think the tower buzzing comes by after he gets into Top Gun, though.
After he what?
Gets into Top Gun.
Well, that's like at the very end.
We see him do it once, and then we see him do it again at the end.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Does he? I can't remember. Spoilers again for this movie is a lot of things happen in this movie, but they're all kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of the same thing. Like, Tom Cruise and Goose, Maverick and Goose, go up and fly their jets. They break a rule. They come down and get hollered at. Tom Cruise max on a woman. Then they go back up in their jets and get hollered at. He macks on the woman again. They go from there, just get hollered at. It just kind of does that over and over again until Goose dies and Tom Cruise is like, I'm done messing around in jets. And then they're like, you got to mess around in jets some more because there's some bad guys. And he goes, he messes around in jets.
There isn't bad guys, though, in the beginning. There are two scenes with bad guys in it.
That's what I'm saying. At the very end, bad guys show up and Tom Cruise has to go and break the rules again, mess around in his jet.
Well, because a lot more happens in this movie than what you're talking about.
Here's what's funny. I think you liked this movie a lot more than I like this movie.
I like Tom Cruise.
I mean, like Tom Cruise,
too. He's a terrible person.
I mean, he's got his problems, but I like Tom Cruise a lot. I love the Mission Impossible movies. I like his performances. I think he's a swell actor. He brings a lot more to the role than is on the page, certainly.
Yeah.
He's got a winning smile, even though his teeth are not centered on his face, which is the strangest thing to see. But he makes it work. Mm-hmm. He makes it work. I just think you enjoyed this movie more than I do.
Probably.
Yeah, which is funny. I mean, I guess not, considering how much you love jets.
Yeah, I love jets, totally. No, I like movies that aren't upsetting.
Yes, I will say, this movie... No incest.
Yep, definitely.
That's it. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Like, already there, it's like higher up on your ladder of of liked movies than other movies are.
I didn't like... I mean, it's the 80s, so I can forgive it, but I didn't like the relationship, the way the relationship started out. That made me uncomfortable.
Very little gay panic in this movie,
mm-hmm.
Which is surprising for an 80s macho action film. In fact, some might say a little gay pride in this movie, but that's open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I kept waiting for something to happen. And what I wanted to happen never happened.
What did you want to happen?
More things. I don't know. I guess because
I thought there could have been more like action with the jets. I thought that would have been cool. Because there's no... bad guy, which is weird in a movie like this. There's no like villain.
There is no villain. Like, even his like gruff and tough superiors aren't the villains. Even the his like even Val Kilmer as Iceman isn't the villain. He's not the Draco Malfoy of this movie.
No, he's just a gay guy who's in love with his second. What is he called? The
his buddy, his pal. Yeah. They have a name, like his CIO or CEO or KIG. I don't know what they're called, but there's several guys in this movie who look exactly the same, by the way. Mm-hmm. There are characters named Slider, Hollywood, Wolfman, Chipper. So I don't know which characters these are.
Who's Iceman's second, though?
His RIO is Slider.
Yeah. Ron, there are definitely a couple.
Ron, Slider, Kerner. But if you had told me that Slider and Hollywood were the different guys and Wolfman, I would have been like, shut up, shut your mouth, shut your mouth, you liar. Because I just, every time I saw them, I assumed they were all the same.
Yeah,
guy.
They all look the same. Iceman and Tom Cruise, you could tell they were different because they didn't have mustaches.
Yeah, there's a guy, the only guy who I could tell was different was Sundown, and that's because he's an African-American man.
Yeah.
Sundown. So that's it. There's also a guy named Jester, I guess.
Jester is the old guy, isn't he?
Jester? No. Oh, he's an instructor. Yes.
You're right. He's the instructor.
Right. He's the instructor played by Michael Ironside. Yes. I see him and I'm like, that guy looks like Michael Ironside. Then I'm like, oh, it is Michael Ironside. He was just much younger than I think of Michael Ironside. Yeah, so a lot of character actors in this movie, a lot of I listed these guys off because they're, so what happens is Tom Cruise makes the guy spill his coffee, and because of that, he gets in trouble. And they're like,
yeah.
And they're like, you're a loose cannon, Maverick. You're a Maverick. We called you Maverick. I guess we should have planned on this happening. We can't trust you. I wouldn't want to be your partner. Unfortunately, because Cougar had a PTSD attack, he's out of the game. He's out of the running. We have to send somebody to Top Gun. We're sending you to Top Gun because you're the next best. So you and Goose are going to Top Gun.
He didn't do the flyby in the first scene.
When did he do the flyby?
He did the flyby when he beat what's his face during Top Gun.
Did he? Was it Top Gun? Oh, I guess that would make sense, because why would that guy be in the ocean?
Why
would that guy have been there? He wouldn't have been there.
They mentioned at the beginning that he has done an illegal flyby before.
That's what it is. He does flybys all the time. Now, yes. So now begins the adventures of the Top Gun. And they go to Top Gun. What is Top Gun, by the way?
It's like super flight school or whatever. I don't know.
It is the United States Navy. Oh, these guys are in the Navy, by the way, not the Air Force. Even though they're flying planes, these are Navy guys. Top Gun is the United States Navy Strike Fighter Tactics Instructor Program, SFTI, known as Top Gun. It began as the United States Navy Fighter Weapons School in the 60s. But then it became the Top Gun. Why do Navy people fly? Why are they flying?
I assume you need some sky support for ships and stuff. Like, because if you're just, like, the enemy's going to have flying people probably for their, like, I just assume that it's an extra layer of defense. If you can fly above ships and rain fire down on them, then that's better than just having warfare, ship warfare.
So there's naval aviation, and then there's the Air Force. There's like, because there's like the Navy and the Air Force. Are they competitive? Do they think weird of each other?
I think all Army groups are competitive with each other, from what I've heard.
But
not
this
Army
is like
groups,
you're stepping on our
groups.
This is like you're stepping on our toes. Like, we're the Air Force,
except for the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard are pretty much mutually respected by everyone.
So apparently they train together, and they fly similar aircraft.
The Air Force is usually, I think the Air Force is more specifically for flying, and I think that you need flyers in different parts of the military.
Well, yeah. I'm just like,
I don't know. I don't know anything about warfare.
It was like when I was a kid and I was like, oh, the Marines. Obviously, they're part of the Navy because they're marine life. Like, they are marine. And then I found out that they're not. Like, their own thing. And I was like, oh, whoa. So when I would see this as a kid, I would think, oh, Top Gun, that's the Air Force, because they're flying in planes who fly in the air. And like, no, that's the Navy. And I'm
unfortunately,
like,
you do see the word Navy written on a lot of things.
You do,
so.
But I was a child, and I'm also very stupid in real life. So
you're not, though.
So I was always confused. But yeah, so they're in the Navy. They go to Top Gun to be, and but this is mostly just like, this is basically the Goblet of Fire.
Yep. Except for with, well, there actually is more, the same amount of death.
The same amount of death as in Goblet of Fire.
But like, there's less people, so the KD ratio is skewed.
Not to bring up the Unholy book series, but it is the whole thing where, like, we're going to school, we're going to class, but the most important thing is that we are fighting. We are fighting in a deadly competition
for a trophy.
And the only award seems to be you get to say you're the best top. You are the toppest gun, I guess.
Yep.
You're the most Top Gun.
Healthy competition.
But unfortunately, we got off to a bad start in Top Gun training because Goose and Maverick and all the rest of the guys go to this bar, mm-hmm. which is on campus or wherever. It's nearby.
Base.
And Tom Cruise hits on a lady.
Campus? Well, they call it campus?
It's a school. It's Top Gun School
I
Academy.
I thought they called it a base.
I guess it's a base. I don't know anything. Tom Cruise, they go to the bar, and Tom Cruise and Goose sing a fun song to a lady who Tom Cruise thinks is cute.
Not just Tom Cruise and Goose, the entire bar.
They start singing You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling, which is a thing they do, I guess.
He's done it twice.
And how did it get work out for him?
The first time, crash and burn.
Ooh.
Second time, he said something about, like, you tell me later or whatever.
Exactly. He's hitting on Kelly McGillis as Charlotte Charlie Blackwood, who, as far as we know at this point...
Which is funny, because Blackwood is the last name of my D&D character.
As far as we know, Charlie is just a pretty lady at a bar, which is funny because they're on base, as you said.
Yep.
But he hits on her. He hits on her so hard he follows her into the women's room, which is the first time you almost left the room.
Yeah.
Because that's not allowed. That's not like I buzzed the tower when I wasn't supposed to allowed. That's like this could constitute assault allowed, not allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He follows her into the toilet and hits on her there.
And she sasses him.
Yeah.
And then pretends they had sex, I guess.
I guess. Yeah. She makes it seem like they had sex in the ladies' room. But then what do you find out the next day?
She's an astrophysicist. What is she? Aero.
She's not an astrophysicist.
No.
She is the instructor.
Yeah, but she is a specific, very scientific degree.
I don't know. I don't have it written down.
What's her name? Charlie Blackwood?
Her name is Charlie Blackwood. All it says is that she's the instructor. But wait, but she is based on a real life human being. She is based on Christine Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a real person.
Charlie Blackwood is also a real person.
Well, Christine Fox, her nickname at the Naval Air Station, it was Legs, which is not good. But I guess because she was known for being an attractive woman, I guess was kind of like why. But she also is like a very famous person and very like. Even if she was the acting deputy secretary of defense under President Barack Obama.
Okay.
Like, she became the highest ranking woman to serve in the United States Department of Defense at the time. Like, that was, like, a big deal. But also, she was known as Legs, which is not
She was an astrophysicist.
Thing.
I was right.
Charlie was an astrophysicist?
Yes.
Well, you were correct. I'm trying to figure out if Christine Fox was. It does not seem like Christine Fox was. She was the director of cost assessment and program evaluation in the Office of the Secretary of Defense.
Also, they specifically made her a civilian because they didn't want to promote fraternization. I can't say that word, but you know what I mean.
Well, it looks like she was a civilian official in real life,
yeah.
Too, Christine Fox.
I'm just saying that in the movie they made that decision.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
She was interviewed in the Fox documentary, Do You Trust This Computer?
Great.
I don't know what that's about, but it's called, I guess it's about super intelligent AI, but okay. In any case, he hits on her. He's embarrassed the next day because she's his teacher, but he still hits on her. He continues to go for it.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I didn't misspeak. I got the information wrong. Her character was originally written to be an aerobics instructor who had no connection to Top Gun.
Why? When you literally have someone right there. I mean, I guess.
Because they wanted to stave off suggesting the film promoted fraternization.
I guess that makes sense. But they have this actual person right there. Mm-hmm.
So, well, awesome they dropped person. That clearly. So
yes, aerobics instructor. That's like in the 1980s. It's like, well, it's a woman. What can she be? An aerobics instructor? Sure.
Yeah.
So she's his teacher.
Yeah.
But they continue to fraternize.
Yes.
But she's not impressed by his antics, like his inversion, because she's seen a lot of antics. She's an instructor.
She is impressed by it.
But like, she's not impressed in the way that like he's hoping she would be impressed, because she's on his level.
She is fascinated by the fact that this feat that was thought to be impossible was done just on a whim.
Right.
Because she talks about how inversion is impossible in the specific jets they're using. And he's like, actually, I have proof that it's not impossible.
Yeah.
And there's some weird banter back and forth between them.
Right.
Because, of course, the woman has to be taken down a peg in the first introduction of her actual character.
Right. Now, Tom Skerritt is also in this movie. Tom Skerritt is in this movie. We mentioned Jester, who's mm-hmm. the instructor, who's an instructor at Top Gun.
Yeah.
Tom Skerritt plays Viper, mm-hmm. who is the commanding officer and instructor at Top Gun, but he also served with Tom Cruise's dad in Vietnam.
Yes.
And this kind of becomes a plot thing because Tom Cruise's dad died when Tom Cruise was young.
You stop saying Tom Cruise.
Okay, Maverick's dad died when Maverick was young. Tom Skerritt plays Viper. Viper is based on a real guy whose name was Viper and whose name in real life was Peter Pettigrew. Bringing this whole thing back around to the Forbidden series, Peter Pettigrew, Pete Viper Pettigrew, which is the stupidest thing in the world. There was actually a Peter Pettigrew who appears in the movie as just some guy. So we have Tom Skerritt as Peter Pettigrew. And basically all of his superiors in this movie are like, you're a loose cannon, Maverick, but we love you anyway.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing, we talked a lot about during this movie about we don't understand the rules of engagement.
Yeah. So most of this movie is about how Tom Cruise keeps breaking the rules of engagement, which are a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, rules of engagement are a thing. You have rules in the sky. I don't understand why they exist. I mean, I guess I understand why they exist. It's because you don't create,
I understand
like, war crimes.
Why they exist at school. I don't understand. Do they exist in actual war?
Yes.
Why? And how do you enforce that? That just seems like you're going to follow the rules, your enemy's not, and they're going to kill you.
So, the naval rules of engagement, which includes naval aviation, are guidelines specifying under what conditions or circumstances force may be used to satisfy political and or military demands.
Okay.
Tension inescapably exists in a system that subordinates armed forces under civilian control while retaining military command. Does that make sense to you?
I understand the rules that, like, I understand that they are setting up so that you don't just start killing people whenever you want to. Mm. I don't understand what that has to do with what was going on in this movie.
So I think it's like, because, okay, when you're flying in a jet and you're fighting in a jet and there's bad guys and other guys in a jet, it's just like, it's like this. That's literally how much sense it makes to me.
Yep.
It's like, meow, 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 meow.
So they keep talking about him, like, leaving his, like not being a team player.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what confused me, because it really felt like the rules of engagement were, like, a buddy system. Mm-hmm. And I think what he was actually getting in trouble for was the maneuvers he was using against, like, in the quote, games, the training games they were playing, which I didn't get, because he was going after the people in a way that broke the rules of engagement.
Okay. What I have in front of me is an 80-page document on the rules of engagement in the Navy. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read the whole thing out loud.
Please don't.
It's complicated. Yeah. So what ended up happening during this movie was, you and I were watching this movie, and they're like, you're breaking the rules of engagement. And we're both just like, but he won. They're like, he got behind his opponent, because it's the instructor's flying some jets and the other guy's flying other jets. And Tom Cruise would be like, I'm going to go after him. I'm going to get him. And he'd get behind the guy and he'd like, got him in my sights, locked on. I get him. And he's like, I won the game. And they're like, but you broke the rules of engagement. And you and I were both like, but if this was real life, he would have got the bad guy anyway. Like, that's the point, right? That you get the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the point? And we're, and like, the movie, I never quite understood, like, I get that there have to be rules in war. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, people would just, like, bomb the crap out of people. And, like, maybe, like,
I understand that there have to be rules in war.
Like, you
I
have to don't... wait. You, like, they said, they told him, like, wait for the enemy to attack first. Because if a jet's there and it's the enemy jet, but they're not doing anything attacking-wise, you don't want to come across as the aggressor. Mm-hmm. I get that. But once you're both, like, zipping around and flying around, at that point, I'm just like,
I don't believe in honor in combat.
Well, I know
you're gonna put that out there. I cannot fathom why you would follow rules if it gave you a lesser chance of winning.
If
you are 1v1ing someone in the sky in a jet, I understand following rules so that civilians and medical people and people trying to save lives aren't dying. That right. I get. I don't understand why you can't use dirty tricks when you're trying to save your own skin and the skin of other people.
Maybe in this case it's because it puts your guys in danger.
But you're already in danger.
But maybe it puts you in more danger. Again, we don't know. If a military person is listening to this and wants to calmly and rationally and somehow like comprehensively explain the rules of engagement as it pertains to the jetmen in Top Gun and the way they are going.
I would love to have a conversation about this because I don't understand what's happening.
I don't want to have a conversation about this. I just want somebody to sit me on their knee and explain.
I want to have a conversation about it.
Because I have nothing to contribute to this conversation. I would just be like,
I have a lot of questions to ask, I guess, because I don't shut up and I always ask questions.
So what happens is, We sort of bop back and forth between Tom Cruise sleeping with Kelly McGillis, or building up to sleeping with Kelly McGillis, because they don't sleep together immediately. He goes to her house. He acts weird. He's sweaty a lot. There's a lot of sweaty boys in this movie. They have chats. They chit-chat. Eventually, they have sex.
They don't have sex right away, though.
They do not have sex right away.
They just have wine, and he takes a shower.
Yes.
And also rides a motorcycle with no helmet, which is really dumb.
He rides a motorcycle with no helmet. It's really dumb. But, of course, it's the 80s. No one rode a motorcycle with a helmet in the 80s, unless they were, like, the easy rider. Kelly McGillis is also older than Tom Cruise. And her character is older than Tom Cruise. And she is visibly older than Tom Cruise. Yeah. They don't try to make her look like a young 20-something. They make her look like a professional woman in the 80s.
She is an astrophysicist.
He looks like a little boy.
Yeah, I mean, she is an astrophysicist. He's a young man who joined the Army.
The Navy. He flies around in jets. His name is Maverick. He says things like, I got the need for speed. And he sings songs to strange women in bars. She is an astrophysicist. She is an instructor at Top Gun. She is a civilian in the world of the military. She has got a lot more going for her than Tom Cruise does.
Also, but she's also, like, college age. So, of course,
he's graduate school age. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
He's 25. She's also incredibly beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot going for her. Tom Cruise, she sees this boy. He's a cute boy. He's exciting, energetic, and he's good in bed, I guess. She enjoys having sex with him so much that she licks him on the face.
The chin.
She licks him from like the bottom of the neck up to the chin.
Yeah.
There's licking in this scene. A lot of licking. And I was like, I know now, especially, if you're doing a sex scene like this in a movie, you have what is someone who is called an intimacy guide, like on set, in plays and in movies. This intimacy expert is there, basically like a choreographer, to make sure that nothing goes wrong and that no one feels violated, no one feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's a very important job to have in a scene like this. But of course, it's the 1980s. I doubt there was an intimacy person on set. Was she instructed to lick Tom Cruise's neck? And if so, how many takes of that did it take? And also, did Tom Cruise appreciate that? And also, if that was me being licked, about the third time, I'd be like, we're done. We're done. We're done. Kelly McGillis, you're an attractive woman. This is, you know, I am sure this is going to look great. It looks great. It's a great looking scene. Mm-hmm. But I think we're done now. How many licks does it take to get to the center of Tom Cruise's face? I guess my question. A lot of licking.
Yeah, it's a weird scene.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it's this kind of movie, so it has to have a sex scene in it at some point. But
I think this movie PG? I think this movie was PG.
They say a lot of curses, don't they?
Yeah, but it's, again, 1986. They don't say any F words. Top Gun.
Not this one. Top Gun. I want the other one. Where's the other one?
The new one?
No, it's showing me the new one. I want the old one. It is...
Top Gun was rated... It says 15. I don't want the British rating.
You only get the British rating. It was rated...
PG. It was rated PG.
That's weird.
Yeah. Because there's no there's no F words. There's some S words, but not many. Like, there's about as much swearing in this as there is in Goonies.
I should have... That movie should be rated R.
There's no violence in this movie, except a little blood on Goose's head. Everything else is...
I could have brought this movie in to my fifth grade class and been like, we should watch this movie.
There is sex, but no nudity. And there is sex. You see like a little bit of thrusting, but not much. It's like that movie thrusting. And then in the end, she's just laying in bed with the sheet pulled up over her chest. And as you said, while we were watching it, she did not wrap herself in a bow.
No.
Yeah, you can take your kids to see this movie and they'll be fine with it. And
the PG, it was the limit of movies you could bring in to show the class was PG. So I could have brought Top Gun in.
Yeah, bring in Top Gun.
And my teacher would have been like, I am not an idiot because I have seen this movie before, probably.
Yeah, it is an adult movie. I don't know. Every one of my friends saw this movie in the theater. I was 10 when it came out. My friends who live nearby were like 9, 8. Everyone went to go see this movie in the theater. It was the movie that dads took their boys to. Mm-hmm. And they all wanted to be Maverick. They all wanted to be Iceman. And they all wanted to fly around, pretend to be flying around. I just wasn't a jet boy. I just wasn't
No, you were a giant living plant boy.
I was a giant living plant boy. We covered this already. I just wasn't a jet boy. I didn't want to be Goose. I didn't want to be Iceman. I didn't want to be Peter Pettigrew. I wanted to be Seymour Krelborn.
You got your dream.
I did eventually get my dream.
You know what? Out of everyone who, like, out of all of that, you were the only one probably who realized your dream to be the character you wanted to be.
I think you're probably right. I think I did. I realized my dream to be Seymour Krelborn in Little Shop of Horrors. This movie just didn't resonate with me as a kid. I wasn't interested in actual jet combat. If there was jet combat, I wanted those jets to turn into robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the story of your papa. Now,
I liked this movie.
I know you liked this. I didn't dislike this movie.
Yeah.
What's funny though is before this movie came out, 2 months before this movie came out, or a few months before this movie came out, a movie had come out called Iron Eagle. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of like, some people think of it as a Top Gun knockoff, but it came out before Top Gun, and it is all about jets and dogfights, and it has Lou Gossett Jr. and Shawnee Smith and Melora Hardin, and it didn't do great in the theaters, but it became kind of a cult classic. And what's funny is Iron Eagle has four movies, and Top Gun still only has the two.
Well, now, didn't the person who was making the second one die?
Yes.
Yeah.
And but
it took a while to come out.
But Iron Eagle was also directed by the director of Dr. Blood's Coffin, The Leather Boys, Sheila Levine is Dead and Living in New York, The Entity, a movie where a woman gets her boobs played with by a ghost, Superman 4, Ladybugs, that movie where Rodney Dangerfield coaches a children's soccer team. So, you know, it has its own, like, story behind it. Yes, in the entity, a woman has her breasts felt up by an invisible ghost. And in order to make it work, they had to build robot breasts that could look like they were getting squished. That's great. a little trivia for all you out there. But meanwhile, Top Gun.
We haven't finished the plot for this movie yet.
Eventually, Goose dies.
Which... we were like, how is this Maverick's fault at all? I don't understand.
So what happens
is,
it's
not his fault.
They're doing one of their things.
They're like going for their Maverick and Ice Man are supposed to be teaming up in their jets to go after the training instructor.
Yes.
And Maverick is behind Iceman, and Iceman won't take the shot, but Maverick's like, I could take the shot. And there's some maneuvering that happens, and Maverick gets the jet gets caught in the, what's the word, the
jet stream, the,
yeah,
the jet, the line, something like that,
of Iceman's jet, which fries his jet, and it starts crashing. And
yeah.
He and Goose are, like, having a lot of trouble reaching for the ejection
handle.
They finally
yeah.
do. Goose slams into the top of the jet that has just ripped off, which seems like a design flaw.
Yeah, the canopy is opening, and Goose ejects into the canopy.
Yeah. Again, seems like a design flaw. In the jet? What do I know, though?
Yeah. Seems like you would make that canopy. You should make that canopy just... if you're ejecting, the canopy, I don't think, should open like this. I think it should just fly off. Like, just have the yeah. canopy pop off completely. Like, don't rely on that hinge. That yeah. hinge might be too slow. Just have the canopy fly off. But, yeah, so Goose crashes headfirst into it, which kills him instantly.
Yeah, yeah. And they crash into the ocean.
Yeah.
They're on an ocean. And Tom Cruise is holding Goose. Maverick is holding Goose. And the Coast Guard shows up, and they're like, we gotta, and then it's trauma. There's just yeah. a lot of trauma. I have another, there was another thing we talked a lot about while we were watching this movie. Money.
Okay. Okay.
And how the entire time, they're very concerned about the price of the jets.
Yes.
Which, during training, I understand. But when they're talking about, like, when they're doing potential, like, they're planning potential situations, they're still really focused on how expensive those jets are.
Yes.
And I'm like, aren't you supposed, the people in the jets also have to survive, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, because they're focusing, like, Maverick, you would have lost us so much money if that had gone wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Living.
I would have been too busy being dead, too, to worry about yeah. how much money I cost you. Yeah. There is quite an emphasis on the, these are expensive jets, please don't hurt our jets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were appropriately upset by the fact that that's all they seem to be concerned about.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, that's, I think that's, maybe that's how they keep the guys, like, focused. Like, we're not going to pretend to be worried about you. We're going to pretend to be worried about these jets. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Anyone out there in the, I almost said the Air Force, in the Navy, who has been through this. Let us know. Do they care more about the jets?
Any Top Gun graduates out there?
Yeah, any Top Gun graduates who listen to this podcast that nobody listens to, please let us know if they're more concerned with the jets than they are with the boys.
Well, that's just an obvious yes.
Is it, though? I mean, these are people working there.
That's true. Maybe the people are concerned. The system, however, not concerned with the people.
They are not. They are not concerned with the people. But the men in this movie, we didn't even mention. So Goose's family is there as well.
Yeah. His wife and his son.
Yeah. They have come by for a fun visit. Just to hang out. And it's Meg Ryan playing his wife and a little boy playing his boy. And the little boy, whose name I do not know, is very...
I don't think we ever learn it.
...is very cute. He's a cute little boy. Mm-hmm. I think he's there. I think he came just in case his dad died. He wanted to make everything really hard on everyone. So they're there, and then Meg Ryan is sad. But what's really weird is that Meg Ryan, they focus so intently on how upset Maverick is... Mm-hmm. Then it almost seems like Meg Ryan is there to, like, comfort Maverick.
Yep.
Yeah. To, like, make sure that he knows that she's still on his side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Right.
It was weird.
Yeah. She's not much of a character. She's a bit goofy. She's Meg Ryan. You can't not love her.
They all sing at a piano together.
They do sing at a piano. They sing, I almost said Hot Cross Buns, but that's not it. They sing, what's it called? Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah. And she also says, she also tells Charlie that Maverick is clearly in love with her.
Yes. Which is weird, because is he? Is he in love, or is he just a young man who's sleeping with a pretty lady?
Because apparently everyone thinks he's a player, even though he talks a lot about how he crashes and burns with women all the time.
Yeah.
I guess if you're a maverick, that's kind of the reputation you get, question mark.
Right. Yeah. So he doesn't want to go fly in his plane anymore. And, oh, by the way, if you want to get, like, in the dirt, like, so deep in the dirt you can't breathe... the Top Gun wiki has like a list of errors for this movie that goes on for like 75 points.
Good.
But then each error has a rebuttal as to why it might not be an error. So it's crazy. Like, there's a justification for everything in this movie. So, like, Goose hitting the cockpit, they're like, that shouldn't have been able to happen. Mm-hmm. But then some people are like, ah, the whole point is that his seat was malfunctioning and that it pulled him down before it ejected. Like, so, like, there's malfunction. Like, there's just all these arguments going on. So, like, everything that we say, take it with a grain of salt. There's probably an explanation for it.
Okay, so the cockpit thing should have been able to happen. So it wasn't the plane's fault, but it was the plane's fault because his seat malfunctioned.
But they also reassure Tom Cruise, don't worry, this was not your fault that your friend died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they say, there's a whole
scene. He goes to court to get cleared of the death of Goose.
Right. We have this whole inquiry that's like, mm-hmm. It wasn't your fault. Don't worry. It wasn't your fault. It was the plane's fault.
It was the jet's fault.
It was the plane. The plane was the bad guy. And then that's like followed by the scene where Goose's wife is like, don't worry. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And then Charlie is like, don't worry, Tom Cruise. It's not your fault. You're like, everyone's just like, don't worry, don't worry. They're
so concerned.
And Tom
Cruise is like, but it is my fault.
Right. And then finally, Viper, Tom Skerritt. He goes to Viper's house. We were very confused as to whose house he was at.
It all looks the same.
Yeah.
Viper is like, get over it and fly away.
Fly away, boy. Fly, fly, fly. But
and then there's the scene where he is flying with someone else and... he's supposed to take the shot, and he can't take the shot because he's freaking out. And then he yells at... his name's Sundown, I think you said?
Yes.
Jester's like, he's not coming back.
Right.
And Viper's like, it's been 2 days. Give him some time. We're like, it's been 2 days!
Yeah. Tom Cruise walks out of a dressing room at one point. Out of the gym room, the locker room. And they're like, I guess he quit Top Gun forever. Because he like walked out of the, he's just like standing there and then he walks out. And they're like, he just totally quit Top Gun for the rest of
his life. Yeah, there's one of the three guys who looks exactly the same is in there. And he's like on the secret phone. He's like,
yeah,
he just quit.
Yeah.
And we're like, what do you mean?
Huh? So we got to get through to the end of this. So Tom Cruise, Top Gun Maverick, Maverick Man. I can't think of his name. Maverick. He goes to visit Viper, Tom Skerritt, who's like, I fought with your dad in Vietnam. Guys died all the time. Get over it. That's basically it.
He said there was other there's other things going on with Tom Cruise's dad. With
right.
Maverick's dad. Because Maverick's dad was dishonorably... He's MIA,
yeah.
essentially. They'd never found his body, but they were like, he made a mistake. And yeah. what was said was, no, your father didn't make a mistake. I was there.
Yeah.
And he says, "You look, you have two options, really. You either graduate or you quit. And,
get busy living or get busy dying."
And Tom Cruise is, or Maverick is like, are you telling me to quit? And he's like, no, I'm telling you, you can.
Yeah. So to sum up, because we're running really long here, the graduation date comes and goes. Tom Cruise graduates, but he doesn't show up for the thing. He doesn't win Top Gun, obviously.
No.
But then, uh-oh, there's a big problem. A boat has wandered into enemy territory. And those MiGs that we saw in the beginning are back. Maybe it's not the same MiGs, but there's MiGs. We got to send the Top Guns to stop them. So all the boys have to go and fight the planes.
Actually, only four of the boys have to go. And for some reason, they picked Maverick.
And they're like, Maverick, you're... And we're like, he still has PTSD and he's in bad
it's
shape.
It's been 2 weeks. What do you mean you're sending him into active combat?
Right. And they go up and they fly. And they have like... Tom Cruise kind of panics during the fight, which is going to happen. We know this is going to happen. But then he has kind of an Obi-Wan Kenobi moment where he's like, talk to me, Goose. Talk to me. And like Goose's voice doesn't actually play, but you have the sense that Goose is like, go for it, my boy. Go for it, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom Cruise goes for it and he shoots all the planes down except for like one or two. And then he throws Goose's dog tags into the ocean.
Yeah.
For no reason. I was like, what are you doing? His wife might want those.
Or his son.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't daddy have... I throw those into the ocean because of my big victory, kid. I did it. See, it's kind of like the end of Titanic where she throws the diamond back into the ocean. And it's like, somebody could have used that. Like, yeah. I know that like, you came to your own personal end, but like... Maybe someone else would want that diamond. So yeah, he throws Goose's dog tags into the ocean. Everyone's happy.
And then he becomes an instructor for Top Gun.
Yep. He makes the guy spill his coffee again.
Iceman joins him this time. There's some fun hugging.
Yep. There's a lot of boy hugs. And then he gets back together with Kelly McGillis after he becomes an instructor. Or they hook up again. We don't know if they get back together. They hook up. They probably sleep together again.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. Why wouldn't you? Both of them. Why wouldn't you? It's Tom Cruise. It's Kelly McGillis. Like, at least do that. And then they do. And then the movie's over. Boo, yep. Boo, 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 boo.
I really like the soundtrack to this movie.
It's a great soundtrack. It's a classic soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It's got Take My Breath Away. Most of the songs are written by Giorgio Moroder. What is his name? Giorgio Moroder. Giorgio. Oh, my God. What is his name?
Mordor?
Giorgio from Moroder. Giorgio Moroder. 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 In any case, they're written by this guy. Who is a Italian composer, songwriter, producer. You know his work. He produced and like everything in the 80s. You may also know him from the character based on him in the web series Yacht Rock, in which I believe he is a floating head. In any case, I could be mistaken. I could be getting this all wrong. There's a whole episode of Yacht Rock about Kenny Loggins writing the music for Footloose, and it uses the song Danger Zone.
Yeah, I think you've showed me this video.
Yes, it's very good. So in any case... Giorgio Moroder and Harold Faltermeyer did a lot of the music for this. Movie is directed by a Brit, and it's like the most American movie ever made.
Yep.
It's so wild. It's such a pro-American movie, and everyone behind the scenes is not from America. We didn't mention the Iceman is played by the handsome Val Kilmer. Mm-hmm. At one point, they referred to Tom Cruise as a real genius, and I was like, "But Val Kilmer played real genius." That was my that was my contribution to the humor. When did he do Real Genius? Real Genius was 85, and this was 86. So he had done top. Val Kilmer's first movie was Top Secret, in which he was the lead. Just amazing. Then he does Real Genius, in which he is the lead. And then he does Top Gun. And by that point, people were just like in love with Val Kilmer. Then he does Willow, which you are not named after.
No, I'm named after the character from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Then he does Kill Me Again, which I don't even know what that movie is. That's a made-up movie that no one's ever seen. But then he does The Doors, in which he is the lead. Man, then he has Tombstone. But after that, things... Val Kilmer was this huge, huge actor. But most of the movies on this list, Batman Forever, Island of Dr. Moreau, Ghost in the Darkness, The Saint, they're all bombs. They're just mostly bombs. But we remember him as being this like huge, because he was just a heartthrob. He was a heartthrob.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. He's a good actor. I believe he is in Top Gun Maverick. But as we all know, Val Kilmer cannot speak anymore because of cancer, mm-hmm. Which is why in the movie The Snowman, I gave you all the clues.
No.
All of his lines. Wait. What?
The Snowman movie? One about...
Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues. Val Kilmer, all of his lines are dubbed in by another actor, and it is not good. It is
no part of that movie is good.
It is one of my favorite movies because absolutely nothing in it works. I don't even love it because, like, oh, it's a bad movie. I love The Snowman because it is absolutely nothing in the movie works from the jump. It is a mess, and I love it. It is a headache on celluloid, and it has this amazing cast.
I watched that movie when I was really sick.
Yeah. If you had not been sick, that movie would have made you sick.
Yeah.
So Top Gun comes out. It's a $15 million movie, if you can believe it. $15 million bucks. Makes
only $15 million for all that jet stuff.
Makes $357 million. It is, as you would say, a success.
Maybe just a little bit.
As you noted, one man did die during the making of this movie. Art Scholl.
Which we kept reading as Art School.
We thought his name was Art School. It was not. Art Scholl died. He was an aerobatic pilot and a cameraman, a flight instructor and an educator. He died in a very similar way to how Goose dies in this movie.
Yeah.
He couldn't come out of a spin. His plane crashed. It was never recovered. It was in the movie was dedicated to his memory. Mm-hmm. Art Scholl. Movie comes out. It was not a slow burn, it was an immediate hit.
Yeah.
Critics were kind of iffy on it. Roger Ebert, our favorite man in the world. It says something interesting though in his review. He gives it 2.5 out of 4 stars, so better than half. But he says movies like Top Gun are hard to review. Because the good parts are so good and the bad parts are so relentless. The dogfights are absolutely the best since Clint Eastwood's electrifying aerial scenes for Firefox, but look out for the scenes where the people talk to one another. However, Gene Siskel said it belongs that the romantic subplot belongs in a teenage sex fantasy film and not in a movie that deserves the genuine romantic value of An Officer and a Gentleman. However, he still liked it, and Pauline Kael said, when McGillis is off-screen, the movie is a shiny, homoerotic commercial.
Yep.
The pilots strut around the locker room, towels hanging precariously from their waist. It's as if masculinity had been redefined as how a young man looks with his clothes half off, and as if narcissism is what being a warrior is all about. And it was also criticized for selling the idea, Oliver Stone said, it sells the idea that war is clean, that war can be won. And that nobody in the movie ever mentions that he just started World War III.
I did say that during. Are we at war with Russia now?
Yeah, they never say Russia in this movie. It's just there's MIGs. They never say, right, they're just called the enemy. It's just the enemy. And you have to remember, this was filmed at the height of American jingoism, of Reagan's America, where we couldn't be beat, where there we made no bad decisions, where everything was awesome. And even
everything
Tom,
was cool when you're part of a team.
Yep. And even Tom Cruise said in 1990 that making a sequel would have been irresponsible because the film gave a misleading view of war. Now, I haven't seen Top Gun Maverick. I was waiting until we saw this movie before I watched Top Gun Maverick, which I heard is an amazing film. People love it. Mm-hmm. That it's
interesting time for it to be dropped if it's anything like this movie.
But I know people who went in not wanting to like it and were like, God dang it, this was a great movie. So I'm curious to see it. I am going to see it because I feel like I want to see it.
We should see it.
Yeah, we should watch it. This movie won the Academy Award for Best Original Song for Take My Breath Away.
It's a good song.
It was nominated for editing, for Best Sound and Best Special Sound Effects, which, you know, I guess could have won.
It had some Star Wars sound effects in it. I liked that.
It did.
The guns sounded like blasters.
The guns did sound like blasters. Who won, though, for Best Editing and Best Sound Effects Editing? Hold on. I'm going to find that. Editing. Platoon won. So that makes sense. Platoon was... And sound effects
That's
editing...
Of...
Oh, sound effects editing was Aliens. So... Oh,
yep. Yeah.
So that makes sense. You're up yep. against some... You're up against some winners there, and
that is a lot. You know what? That's a lot of war movies that came out around the same time.
Yeah, I mean, we were thinking about the military. Yeah, Platoon won for Best Sound, so it was up against Aliens, Platoon, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and Heartbreak Ridge for sound. So you know what? Fine. You know that's a tough call right there. Wish Aliens had won more awards, but what can
that's
you
a
do?
Good movie too.
It is a good
Why
movie.
Why did Guillermo del Toro like this movie, Dad?
Why did Guillermo del Toro like this movie? Can you guess? Can you take a guess?
Because it's awesome. Because there's cool fighter jets in it. Because Guillermo del Toro was an action man. Because he was a kid when he saw it. And I don't know if he was a kid when he saw it, actually. How old is Guillermo del Toro?
How old was Guillermo del Toro
36 years ago. So 57 minus 36.
He was about 22 years old.
Yeah.
It's good.
Why he was 21. It is one of those movies that 21-year-old guys would probably really like.
But why did it make his... I don't care. You know what? I don't care why it made
Why did
list.
The Raven?
He liked The Raven. I asked him on Twitter. He said it was a great fun. Maybe
then
he just thought this movie
that
was
explains
great
fun. It.
And again, the editing is amazing. The fighting scenes are amazing. Mm-hmm. The jet fighter scenes are amazing.
Yeah.
What's funny is on Wikipedia, there's actually a list for Top Gun, the franchise, which I'm like, there's only two movies in this franchise. Why is it the
well,
franchise?
Well, there's also a video game, isn't there?
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 video games.
Oh, good.
There's Top Gun. There's Top Gun. There's Top Gun, The Second Mission. There's Top Gun, Danger Zone. Top Gun, Guts and Glory. Top Gun, Fire at Will. Top Gun, Hornet's Nest. Top Gun, Combat Zones. And 2010's Top Gun. The Nintendo Top Gun is famous for being impossible to land on the aircraft carrier. I never played any of the other Top Gun games. Top Gun, Second Mission, which was also for the NES. There's a DOS game. There's a Game Boy game. There's a PlayStation game, there's a Windows game, there is a PlayStation 2 game, and then the latest game was for PlayStation 3. I don't know if any of them are any good. I don't think any of them have anything to do with the movies. I just think they're fighter jet games. I think that's it. They're just games that take place in fighter jets. Maybe you play a character in them called Maverick. That is literally it. The only connection. So that's Top Gun. Top Gun!
Fun!
Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
We actually watched this on streaming. We watched it on Prime. I don't own this movie. So I can't even like say if there's any like special features or anything because I don't own the Blu-ray. It's just a movie. It's a movie. It's called Top Gun. Check it out if you haven't watched it already. What is the next movie on the Ecstasy of Influence?
It is. Is it Castle in the Sky?
It's Castle in the Sky.
Yeah.
Our first Hayao Miyazaki movie.
I'm so excited. I love this movie so much.
Yes. Our first Miyazaki film. We are also doing Totoro eventually. I think after this, like two movies after this.
I think it's actually only one movie after this.
Well, it's not the next movie after this. The next
I think it's this movie. I think it's Castle in the Sky, a movie, and then Totoro.
Yeah. So this is our first Miyazaki film. Not our first animated film, but I'm looking forward to watching this again. I haven't watched it in a while, so
I haven't either.
To watching it again. Maybe you should. Maybe you should come on over. We could watch it together.
It's Castle in the Sky, The Fly, and then My Neighbor Totoro.
Right. So it's got a little body horror buffer in between the two. Yeah. This is a movie that definitely does not matter if Mitzi wanders through the room while we're watching it. Mm-hmm. The Fly, however. Yes, that movie involves humans dissolving. So, The Castle in the Sky, a great little film. And we could talk about
AKA one of my favorite Miyazaki films.
Yes.
I watched it a lot. Mm-hmm. It has a really good scene in it that has eggs on bread that made me want to try eggs on bread. What a good movie.
You know what? If I hadn't had eggs today, I would go down right now and make myself eggs on bread. Because that sounds really good. Castle in the Sky. Maybe as part of the celebration for watching this movie, we should make eggs on bread.
Yeah.
Is it bread or is it toast? I don't know.
It's probably toast.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of it right
egg
now.
Egg toast.
You know what makes it look even better is the fact that the toast is like 2 inches thick.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's enough. We can talk about... Now I'm just looking at pictures of Studio Ghibli people eating eggs, which there's a lot of that, actually.
Well, Studio Ghibli's all about, like, enjoying the simple things in life, which I appreciate.
Yep,
so.
Like flying and giant robots. So when we meet again, it will be to talk about this fantastic film.
Yep.
But until then, I am Phil.
And I'm Willow.
And we'll see you when...
It's Del Toro time.